Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gulsett.
I'm Andy Bates.
And it's a special day today.
It
for
is.
A number of reasons.
Yes, November 1st.
It's my husband's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr.
Happy birthday,
Gulsett.
Luther. I told him it's the one day I can publicly embarrass him.
How is that an embarrassment? A birthday is, well, maybe it is an embarrassment. Depends on how old you are, I suppose. I don't know.
It's also All Saints Day, though.
It is.
And we're going to talk about why we celebrate All Saints Day.
And we have a special chapel service coming up today as well.
We do have a special chapel service. We also have a special guest on the phone, Pastor Anthony Oliphant from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Elmhurst, Illinois, joining us to talk about why we celebrate All Saints Day. Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice again. It's been a while.
It has been a little while.
Yeah. So let's talk about All Saints Day. What is All Saints Day?
All Saints Day is a day in the church year in which we recognize the good that God has done through and to his saints that are now at rest. So, you know, yesterday, Reformation Day, we focus on the church militant, the church on earth, and the things that we're called to do while we're here on this earth, faith that we're called to. And then the very next day, today, All Saints Day, we recognize kind of the end result of the faith that God has given us, and that is the eternal rest that we have with him and all the faithful.
So what are some faithful ways to observe this, particularly in services this week, whether it's today or on Sunday? I think it's being observed on Sunday as well. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So a lot of congregations will observe it this coming Sunday. Well, the most common way that most people are probably familiar with is to have the commemoration of the faithful departed, and that is simply giving a list at some point during the service of all those who have kind of left this that have left this world and they've departed in the faith. And we give thanks to God that that he did keep them in the faith as they depart. So we'll list their names, gives us an opportunity to reflect on it. Sometimes there will be a brief pause after each name. Sometimes we'll toll the church bell after each name as a way to give thanks individually for those people that God had that God has individually named and made his own in baptism. So that's the most common way. Others, you'll see a change in the paraments and the vestments. The color changes to white in the church. You know, we just had red for Reformation, so now we've changed to white, kind of reflecting the reading that we'll have from Revelation, in which we hear about the countless host that is robed in white. And so then what we have on earth in the divine service then reflects what's happening in the heavenly divine service that St. John gets to see in the book of Revelation. So we have a couple of different customs here in the United States. That's one of the ways that we can do it. There are a handful of places that have a couple of other customs. You know, they'll actually go out to the cemeteries, to the graves of those that they buried this year. They might have a prayer to God, giving thanks to them for giving thanks to God for those who are now at rest. Sometimes you'll see candles lit in memory of people who have departed. And so there are a couple of different ways, depending on where we are in the world and kind of what's generally accepted practice there.
Have you, this is a bit of an off the wall, have you experienced All Saints Day in another culture around the world?
I have not. All of my trips have been during the season after Pentecost, so it's the long green season. except for one time, I visited our sister seminary in South Africa, and that was at the very beginning of Lent.
Yeah, that's a different program.
yes.
What is the value in us as the Christian church on earth remembering those who have gone before us?
Well, you know, there are a lot of times that it can it can get very difficult trying to walk in the faith here. You know, it's when we walk by faith, that means we're not walking by sight. And so we have to be able to take what our senses take us tell us, what our experiences tell us about eternity and about God's love and about faithfulness. And And we have to be able to have a moment to kind of set aside what the world and what our sensory experience tells us, because very often it just tells us, you know, it's not worthwhile, it's too difficult, it's too hard, and that we can take a moment to set all that aside and instead look at what God has done for those who have made it through that struggle, through that tribulation. And so we can, it's kind of a good breather that we have before we enter the end of the church year. And as we're kind of, you know, assessing how things have been going thus far and taking a look at perhaps our struggles, any of the difficulties we may be having. And so it's always good to kind of refocus on what the end is, what the goal is, and that is eternity in the bliss of the Lord.
The word saint sometimes makes us a little uncomfortable because it can be used in different ways. Why does it make us uncomfortable? And particularly All Saints Day, why are some uncomfortable with maybe some of the traditions that we have, that we observe on All Saints Day?
Yeah, well, there might be a couple of reasons that folks might be uncomfortable with the language of saint. First is because it sometimes can be a little bit freighted with a little bit of history in which sainthood is something that is thought to have been earned, either through someone's good works on earth or through something that they did that was above and beyond, you know, what the so-called everyday Christians would do. And so All Saints Day is a good reminder that, no, that all of God's baptized, all those who have received the forgiveness of sins are saints. And so then All Saints actually becomes quite a bit more widely encompassing, and it includes us as well. On the other end of the spectrum, the difficulty people have with the word saint is they don't want to think of themselves as a saint. You know, that I haven't done those things that are above and beyond. I haven't, you know, walked a perfectly straight line. And so it can be a little bit of a challenge to really believe that we're saints. And that's where our doctrine of the forgiveness of sins and Christ's righteousness that's given to us as a gift to cover up our unrighteousness, that's really where that comes into play. And we come to understand that, no, we in fact are saints, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us.
So when we talk about saints and we talk about prayer during a service, that can also get a little maybe confusing or uncomfortable. Are we praying to the saints, for the saints? How does that work during our service?
Yeah, absolutely. We are not praying to the saints, and nor are we praying for the saints. In fact, we don't need to pray for the saints. They have everything they could ever need, and even more than we can imagine. So there's no need for prayer for the saints. Nor do we pray to the saints. You know, we understand that we have one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. And so we don't actually need to have anyone else praying for us. And so when we pray on All Saints Day, it's not a prayer through or to or for the saints. It's a prayer to God, giving thanks for the saints, giving thanks for the good that he did to them, for the good that he's doing to us, and for the reality that he's going to deliver on the same promises that he's delivered to them.
So we're giving thanks to God for the saints who have gone before us. We learn from their witness, their example, and we can be thankful for that. What are some of the things included in an All Saints service? For example, what are some of your favorite hymns for All Saints?
Yeah, probably, and I know I'm not alone on this one, but my favorite hymn for All Saints is "For All the Saints." Right from the beginning, mm-hmm. it's giving thanks to God. It's talking about the they're resting from their labors, mm-hmm. They're at peace. And then we kind of move into this recognition that, yeah, we're still in the battle. And it can get kind of challenging. It can get tough. And we can start to wonder, you know, how long do we have to keep this up? And then from there, we move on in the hymn to saying, no, well, we can actually see their example, that we know that that God has brought them through it. And so that gives us confidence that he'll bring us through the tribulation as well. And so then they also become examples for us, examples of faithfulness during times of challenge, faithfulness to God's word. And this is something that, you know, it's recognized in our own Lutheran confessions that this is one of the reasons that we do recognize things like All Saints Day. We do recognize God's goodness to the saints because they can serve as an example, not because, you know, because they were so great all on their own, but because they were the ones that God has rescued by his own strength. And they also were able to put their faith in that. And so we're able to see their example and follow in that path. And so the imagery of for all the saints is, you know, we're in the battle, and then the saints are kind of, you know, they're rallying, they're encouraging us and cheering us on. That's one of the things that I really have found just tremendous about that hymn.
Yeah, these are some of the... Go ahead.
Oh, and they're... dozens of wonderful musical settings for it too. So
some great descants. We have about a minute left. And I know the readings for All Saints Day are probably some of my favorites throughout the year. They're so full of hope and joy. How does this lead us into the end of the church year? You touched on it just a little bit, but how does it lead us to the end of the church year and looking forward to Advent?
Yeah, well, that's a very astute observation that as we're entering All Saints Day, we are getting to the end of the church year, and we do have that picture of what eternity looks like before the Lamb who sits on the throne. And, you know, this is something that it's good to keep in mind as we're entering the end of the church year. We will have all the readings that Christ gives us about what things will be like at the end, what things will look like before the return of the Son of Man and at his return. And so it's always good also to keep this, what we hear on All Saints Day in the readings, about what's waiting for us, so that, you know, we can approach Christ's return properly, rather than, you know, thinking of it in terms of the way that, you know, Hollywood blockbusters want to paint it. but we can actually see it as it's going to be, that this is the final consummation and that this is the end of all of God's promises finally being fulfilled.
The Reverend Anthony Oliphant, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Elmhurst, Illinois. Pastor Oliphant, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you for having me.
The blessed All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. Chapel service coming up at 10 o'clock. Yes. Special music today, I believe.
Choir singing.
Yes. You're singing in the choir
a special
today.
Arrangement. I'm singing in the choir.
Outstanding.
It's a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
You're a miracle. You know that, right? A living, breathing, one-of-a-kind miracle. You were created to stand apart, to share your gifts in the service of others, to make an uncommon impact in a common world. And at Concordia University, it's our mission to help you do that, to live uncommon. To learn more about Concordia, go to cuw.edu.